The scripture this morning that the Lord put in my heart to bring is a scripture that, coming back to Bill and his beloved wife at the church in the Philippines, was dedicated to. This scripture reminded me of her. This was always a scripture that was dear to her. And battling cancer, I don't think I really understood how important the scripture was to her. In fact, it's on her gravestone. That's how important it was to her. The scripture has been memorialized in a sense, and it comes from Psalms 43. You'll find it in verse 5, and it's repeated actually in 42, verse 11, the same verse. So it must have been important enough to the Lord that the writer of Psalms, this particular psalm, God put it in the heart to bring that back to our remembrance. But I'll take Psalm 43:5, and we just read it and talk a little bit about the importance of this. Why so downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who was the health of my countenance and my God. A little short verse, but let's go back to the beginning. To the born-again believer, we have learned from Scripture that we are created in three parts: spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit. If our spirit leaves this earth suit, the earth suit dies. We also have a soul. Our soul is our mind, our intellect, our knowledge, the five physical senses, if you will, but it's our thought processes. So the soul is very important. Spirit, soul, and body. Our body is our earth suit. It's the part of us that screams at us sometimes because it just doesn't like being under the authority of the Holy Spirit. And it takes sometimes a long time to be able to bring our thoughts and our flesh under the authority of the Holy Spirit, to where we're walking in consistent victory. We maybe get little spurts here and there in the beginning. We get victory over some things. But we're called of the Lord to renew our minds. That's a soulish realm, to renew our minds. So in Romans 12:2 talks about that, being not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may know what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. And so, why are you cast down, O my soul? That would be like you speaking to your mind, if you will, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, to say, mind, what's wrong with you? Get with the program. Why are you thinking those thoughts of defeat and troubles and problems? Why? Why are you cast down? Why are you feeling so down in your thoughts when you could choose to think about something different? Why are you set and locked in that mindset where your thoughts have made shipwreck of your faith in many instances? Why have you allowed things to come in and they stay in your head and not get rid of them? And I can tell that this is true, because the very next part of that, why are you disquieted within me? Disquieted means there's no peace, agitation, troubles, anxieties, fears, worries, all the things that the mind can conjure up to worry about, to fret about, and most of the time they never come to pass anyways, but the enemy uses our mind sometimes for a playground. And we all been there, we've all had those times where we entertain thoughts that knock us off our peace. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So in this, the unsaved portion of the world that we live in and among unsaved people, there's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be things stirred up. There's always going to be things that we don't like. We hear things we don't like. We're around people that we don't like. We're around people that say things that we don't like. But we can't let it let our minds be consumed of those things, because what happens is, see, the mind always used to be boss until we got saved. Whatever the mind told us to do, we did it. The body says, that's a great idea, let's do it. And then we had a conspiracy against the spirit. When the mind and the body gang up, that's a hard battle to fight and to win. And there's so many scriptures about the soulish realm, about our minds, about how to think, casting down thoughts and imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Thoughts that go contrary to God's word. Those are big areas of trouble for us if we don't learn those things and get our thought life under control. I know a person who cannot stand to be in a quiet room. The radio has to be blasting full volume. Something to distract. Something, because this person cannot stand quiet, because he cannot deal with his thoughts. And so that's his way of releasing. He's very resistant up to this point about the next part, about put your hope in God. You know, see, all that negative thinking does not produce any hope. It doesn't produce any faith. It doesn't produce any patience. It doesn't produce any peace. It has the exact opposite effect. And that's why, even though it's a short verse, can you imagine? Here's Jane with cancer completely ravishing her body, and the thoughts that she dealt with during that period of time, the time in the hospital, the time with doctors and medical staff. That woman could tell you more names of medicine than she could verses of scripture. But she hung on to this one because she saw the battle. She waged the battle. And this was a very important scripture for her, because she clung to life until there was no more of it left. And that's why that scripture was important. We as believers have to have that same tenacity to rise up and take a stand and to fight for the things that war against the life of the spirit that's in us. That river is not going to flow if our mind doesn't come in line with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It just won't happen. It's always been boss. It doesn't like the fact that it's not boss anymore. It doesn't like the fact that we can't call our mind God Junior anymore. And it just wants to go and run and think all kinds of stuff. And you know, the scripture is very true. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Eventually our thoughts will dictate who we become if we don't do something about it. And I say that because there isn't a week that goes by that I don't have conversations with brothers and sisters who really have trouble in these areas. It's the mind and the things that they entertain in their thought life that take them astray and get them cast down and not thinking about God at that time. Where's your mind when it's cast down? Looking at your feet. And you know, I remember in the beginning of the service, and I said, if you're going to have a pity party, you need to invite new friends. Me, myself, and I are bad company. Chuck them out. Because that's where our mind will take us. So anyway, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, who's the health of my countenance. What's countenance? My appearance, my quality of life, my level of existence, if you will. The Word of God and our minds meditating on the Word and getting this Word down inside of us are going to help change our countenance. You can tell some people have like a black cloud hanging over them. Isn't that true? It is. We've all seen that. And maybe we've been that cloud to somebody at various times. And like somebody said this morning, we haven't arrived yet. You know, we're all in this walk together. We all occupy the kingdom of God, and everybody's dealing with stuff. But the cloud, it's like a heaviness. And that's what our minds lock us into sometimes if we let them. And we've got to get out of that. We need to get beyond that and share this victory. The health of my countenance, and my God, the health of my countenance. A healthy mind in our thinking is going to produce a healthier lifestyle and making better decisions, led more by the Spirit than by our thinking and by our five physical senses. And actually, we will even be healthier physically because of it. because our minds won't be thinking things contrary to the Word. The Word of God is, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life, but if I'm not thinking about them, then I'm really sowing to my own defeat. I'm sowing maybe to my own sickness, and I don't even want to claim those things. But this is, don't usually talk so long about an opening scripture, but gosh, it's so important. I can't not come to the end of what I really felt that needed to be said today, because somebody heard some good news today. And you can be assured that your day and your quality of life will absolutely radically change for the better if you let the spirit man, the real you in the earth suit, control your thoughts. Amen. Now we'll have missions offering. Now that we got all of that stuff aired out, now you should feel really good and you say, yep, I got something out of that, and I'm not going to be an old sad sack the rest of the day. I'm going to be a happy jack. Yes. My dearest elderly lady that I knew in Florida, Faithy's great aunt Ruth, 92 she lived to be, and she loved Jesus, and one of her favorite songs was a Caribbean song. I don't know if Bob Marley and the Wailers did it or Jimmy Buffett or one of these, but it was always, don't worry, be happy. And it just has that nice little calypso kind of Caribbean kind of sound. And she'd go around the house, and roaches in her house and spiders in her bathtub and frogs on her windows and lizards all over. We lived in Florida for a while, and you never want to call a roach, they're palmetto bugs. But her house would be full of all these critters. Yeah, you don't want to offend the tourists, so you call them palmetto bugs. Right, Sharon? The ones when you open the drawer to get out the silverware to make coffee in the morning, and you see these two little beady eyes and antennas, and as soon as you open the drawer, they scurry to the back where they can stay in the darkness. Well, Aunt Ruth would say, don't worry, be happy. And she'd just hum that song all over the place. At 92 years old, she died a happy lady. What does it mean to worship the King? We opened this morning about our souls being downcast and how thoughts can get caught up in the things going on around us. And I just want to come back to that for just a moment or two, because true worship comes from the heart, and the mind doesn't have anything to do with it, except it will try to talk us out of it. Well, I can't praise the Lord today because this happened yesterday. Well, I can't really worship the Lord today because if you got a phone call like the one I got this morning, you wouldn't even want to be here. I can't worship the Lord today because my tire's flat. I can't worship the Lord today because. No, there's no reason. We are spiritual, made in the likeness and image of our Father, and it's the spirit man. There's always a praise party going on inside. But so often, our thoughts and our mind take us away from tapping into that. It's there. It's available all the time. But don't today let your mind, don't let those things rule and reign, because it won't take you to Him. It'll take you from Him. Worship from the heart. Worship is a way of life. Every day there are things that we could wake up to in the morning and find fault with, look around us and see all the things that aren't the way we'd like to see them. Can you imagine our Heavenly Father, who's awake all the time and He doesn't get any grace to sleep, looking and thinking about and seeing and knowing all the things that aren't right, all the things that are contrary to the way He designed them to be, and then He entrusted us with them? You talk about a father who took a great step of faith, who created all that we see, and then through the body of Christ, in a sense, He put us in charge over them. And all the disappointments we see, Now, there's no reason we can't worship the Lord. And this morning, I don't want to go beyond that. I just want to stay in that flow of the Spirit and close with the opportunity to pray for all of you that maybe your mind's been in a funk this week. You've been kind of maybe even wondering if you even really were going to be here today. But there's so many needs. And I would be really kind of almost sad if you had a need and you went home with it when you don't really need to. That's why anytime during the service we pray for each other, or at the end of the service we have an opportunity to pray for you. And always remember that it might not be you up here in need of prayer, but you sure can release a whole bunch of that faith right where you're sitting for those that do. And always remember, just like the missions, it could be you one day up here. And wouldn't that be really awesome if you were to crack around, you open your eye a little bit and see a whole room full of other people joining in prayer for you and your needs. Because the wonderful thing about being here is you have so spoiled me in a good way. There is no pastor that could ever have a more delightful ministry than to be here with you. I can't wait to get here. You guys give me so much grace, and you love me, and you show me your kindness and compassion, and I can't go home at night without thinking of each one of you. And I go to bed at night, and I'm so thankful how God keeps you. And I just know that when we commit one another to Him, He's got a tight hand when it comes to hanging on to those things that are precious. And He's not a God that's going to just forget about you and what's going on inside. You know, it's more important about what's going on in here than it is of what's going on outside. So I've talked enough. Now it's time for God to do what He always likes to do the best, and that's touch our needs. And if that's you this morning, come on up, and the rest of us will pray with you as well. You're never alone here.